The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Welcome to The Bigger Picture. Well, it looks like there's a bit of risk appetite coming back to the markets now, and we just had the Wall Street session snapping a five-day losing streak. So we're seeing signs that markets across Asia so far starting the day on a positive footing. Well, let's get a bigger picture from Vasu Menon, Senior Investment Strategist at OCBC Bank. Morning, Vasu. How are you doing?
Very good morning, Ryan. I'm very well and hope you're keeping well too.
I'm doing well too. Well, we had some news last night or overnight about Apple launching this new TV service later this month. Is that something that might interest you, Vasu? Do you have time to watch TV nowadays?
With two very young kids, Ryan, hardly have time to watch TV. But, you know, I mean, I will definitely check it out when it's, out here in Singapore.
Okay, something to look out for maybe down the road. Well, Vasu, something that looking at closely is the headlines moving the markets last night. We had Boeing dropping 5%. That's a big Dow constituent. Despite that, markets still managed to offset that drop and managed to close in the green. The Dow closed 200 points higher, recovering from session lows of nearly the same amount. What do you think is driving this relief rally? What is, coming off quite a pretty bad week?
Indeed, yes. But I think there are a few reasons. One is we had better than expected retail sales numbers coming out of the U.S. And secondly, if you look at, technology stocks, you saw Apple rebounding 3.5%. You saw Facebook up 1.5%. And as you highlighted, NVIDIA was also up on the back of news that it's buying its rival Mellanox technology. So the technology sector, I think, gave the market a boost despite Boeing's 5% fall. Plus, I think the better-than-expected retail sales numbers restored some degree of confidence in the U.S. economy. Plus, of course, Jerome Powell, his TV interview with 60 Minutes, actually, also inspired confidence to some extent that the U.S. economy is not in dire straits. So all that put together, we saw a bit of a rebound. But the big question is whether this will continue. I'm not sure. I think there are still headwinds. But at least for today, it looks like, it's going to be green here in Asia.
Vasu, let's talk about those retail sales numbers you mentioned. U.S. retail sales for January, better than expected at 0.2%. Market estimates was for no change. So that's another spot of what looks to be like good news. How much should we be reading to these spot of good news here and there? If you take a step back, Vasu, what trend are you seeing around the U.S. economy?
Well, I think if you look at the numbers and if you look at them very carefully, the December numbers were revised down. That's what caught my eye, more so than, the January numbers. The December numbers, previously market was, looking at 1.2% decline in December retail sales, and that sparked concerns about the U.S. Recession. That number has been taken further down, to 1.6%. So the decline in December was larger than expected. Of course, the January numbers saw a rebound, and that offered some relief. So put that together, what it means, I think, is that, the U.S. economy is not in dire straits, it's not headed for recession, but clearly we are seeing fiscal stimulus start to fade. It is impacting the economy. We are seeing some degree of slowdown in the economy, and I think that's slowly seeping into the market. So essentially no recession, but a slowdown. That's what the data from the retail sales as well as, the employment data and other data in the U.S. seem to be pointing to.
Well, speaking of Vasu Menon, Senior Investment Strategist at OCBC Bank. Well, Vasu, talking about the U.S. economy, one man hoping to make things better is Donald Trump. He's just revealed his budget for 2020. So he comes in at 150 pages and reveals his top priorities as his re-election campaign gets into full swing. So in short, he wants to spend more on military and veterans, but cut spending on education, housing, welfare, transportation, and science. So Democrats, like many would have expected, are starting to express their disagreement. How high do you think is the risk of markets facing another government shutdown?
I wouldn't put it past the markets. I think it's possible that we will face another government shutdown. Clearly, I think, it's quite clear by now that Donald Trump's Republican Party, including him, are loggerheads with the Democratic Party. Political conflict is on the rise in the U.S., especially after the Democrats won the House of Reps. This will go on, right? This is not news. To some extent, you're going to see a lot of friction. And the possibility of a shutdown is very real. It may spook the markets. But at the same time, we've had so many shutdowns in the U.S. in the last few years that, people somehow feel that even if there's a shutdown, it will not be for long. It will be temporary. Eventually, either the Republicans or Democrats will blink, and you'll find some kind of a compromise. So I think, yes, it will scare the market short term, but the market, I think, will still be very much focused on other concerns, which are growth, Brexit, Europe, and other issues.
So maybe investors might take this in their stride. Looking ahead to the Brexit vote, Vasu, tonight UK Parliament will be voting for the deal that Theresa May has on the table. She's just met with the European Commission in France and managed to walk away with additional assurances, with the EU saying they will not try to trap the UK into the so-called Irish backstop indefinitely. So I've been seeing the sterling bounce nearly 1% this morning. If I take a step back, look at 24 hours, it's up nearly 1.8%. Walk us through what you're expecting out of Brexit and how it's going to move markets.
Well, you know, I mean, yes, we have some good news coming out that indicates that, you know, or rather, Theresa May's deputy has said that they've got a legally binding change to the Brexit deal. But, you know, Brian, I think the devil is in the details. We've not seen the details. We've seen some verbatim come out from the UK. We need to see the details. I think there's skepticism among MPs in Europe. So let's see what happens. Very likely, you know, even with this concession that, you know, Theresa May has wrangled out of the EU, it is possible that her deal may not go through. It may not get the votes she needs to, you know, pass Brexit. If that doesn't happen, then what happens is that, you know, the next step is, you know, Parliament will vote to see whether, you know, they want a no-deal Brexit. And it's very likely they do not want a no-deal Brexit. Then the next step is, will they extend the deadline, extend Article 50? And that's the very likely outcome, I think. Article 50 is likely to be extended. And if that happens, then I think that's going to give the pound a bit of a boost. But, you know, Ryan, then what will Europe say about the extension? Will they give in to everything that the UK wants? You know, so I think what comes out of Europe is also very important. You might see a big, a short lift in the pound, but if Europe doesn't sound very positive, a rebound may be short lived as well.
Now, it looks like the extension of the deadline is starting to be the base case for a lot of analysts. Vasu, just wrap things up. With all this in the background, what are you telling your clients? What do you like right now? And of course, we haven't even touched on China, which is still undergoing its last week of the National People's Congress.
I think in the case of China, quite clearly, you know, the government is, you know, focusing on economic stability, political stability, social stability. I think it's steady as it goes. That's what China is trying to do. And that's a bit of a relief for investors here in Asia because, you know, as long as China doesn't hit for hard landing, as long as there's some policy stimulus from monetary policy and fiscal policy, that's good news for Asia. Asian markets have seen a very good rebound on the back of, you know, China. We are telling clients to be a bit more cautious. We've taken Asia down one notch. We're still overweight, but one notch. And we've actually turned a bit more positive in Europe, Ryan, because so much of bad news in Europe that, you know, we think the valuations are now looking a bit more appealing. But of course, it's not a short-term story. It's a medium-term story. So there's still opportunities, but, you know, investors have to be ready for a bumpy ride. 2019 is going to be a bumpy year. We've had a lot of good news front-loaded, and the markets have done very well in the first 2 months. Going forward, it's going to be a bit more tricky. We are suggesting a bit more caution, diversification across asset classes, across time, rotation, like I said, you know, one notch Asia down, one notch Europe up. So there are opportunities, but you just have to tread very carefully.
No, interesting. Asia one notch down and Europe a bit more attractive in terms of valuations. Thank you so much for your time, Vasu. Have a great week ahead.
Thank you, Ryan. You too.
All right. We've been speaking with Vasu Menon, senior investment strategist at OCBC Bank on The Bigger Picture.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.